crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall. We're coming to you today from Jerusalem, Israel, as per usual. Sorry about the repeat program last week. We were very busy. We have been very busy, my family and some others, just preparing for the beginning of the Ophel excavations. We are going back to the dig site, just south of the Temple Mount wall there, the southern wall of the Temple Mount, just north of the City of David. This will be the first time that the Ophel excavations have taken place since back in 2013. So we're really excited for the beginning of that tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6:30 a.m. Just as the sun gets up, we'll be there at the site. Initially, we'll be doing a lot of different preparatory work at the site, preparing the area, cleaning up the area before we start excavating. Nevertheless, it is very exciting to be back there. I was an area supervisor back in 2012 and also 2013 at the Ophel, a really important site in ancient Jerusalem. These are the excavations that are led by Dr. Eilat Mazar of Hebrew University, famed for the discovery of King David's palace back in 2005 and continuing excavations there through 2008, before she moved to the Ophel area. And of course, we are supported, Watch Jerusalem is supported by or is affiliated with a college, Herbert W. Armstrong College, based in Edmond, Oklahoma, but also having campuses in England and a budding campus here in Jerusalem, it seems. We are ready to assist in her excavations. We've got about 12 volunteers, and that's to go along with the 12 or 13 or 15 that took place in the excavations back in 2013 and 17. That was in 2012. And we're excited to be a part of it. These students here are very excited. They don't have too much exposure to archaeology, but they do have a lot of exposure to the Bible and to the history in the Bible. And digging in Jerusalem on the Ophel or in the City of David, anywhere in this area, it's just teeming with information from those biblical periods. In the previous phases of the dig, we have found just amazing remains from the period of the Jewish Bible, from the period of the kings of Israel, and we are expecting to find more such finds in this excavation season. This isn't a joke. This isn't a hoax. It's really down there. All you need to do is put a spade in the ground pretty much anywhere in Jerusalem and dig down, and you're going to find some remains. You will find something. And if you're digging in ancient Jerusalem, this area of the Ophel, and we're going to talk about on this program just what the Ophel is, we're going to talk about that. If you dig in this area, you are going to find remains. You expect to find ancient remains. You expect to find different layers from the past 3,000 years at the very least. And that is what we find. That's what we found back in 2009. That's what we found back in 2012 and 13. And that's what we expect to find in 2007 or 18 now. If you would like to look back at those previous excavations and what was uncovered, and really just things keep on coming up, even in the post-excavation work, and more exciting things are discovered, even in the university at the lab. But nevertheless, there are some real-time videos that were made back in 2012 and 13 by HWAC or HWAC staff, with Dr. Mazar featured, with the discoveries featured on our blog. The website is keytodavidcity.com, keytodavidcity.com, and you can go there and just click through the pages and watch some professional videos recounting the discoveries, recounting some of the discoveries as they happened. And that will just get you excited about this excavation. We do hope and we plan on, with Dr. Mazar, producing videos of this current excavation. I don't know if it's going to be every week or so, but certainly we'll be producing videos soon about what we're doing, what we're up to, so that you can be a part of it as well. You can be a part of Jerusalem's history as it is uncovered. And really, that's all we're doing. We're not reinventing any wheels here. We don't have this desire to, as opposed to a lot of other archaeologists in Israel, have this desire to dig down to try and find new history or find discoveries that would somehow disprove the historical record. And by historical record, I mean what the Bible says. That's not our goal. Our goal is to dig in Jerusalem, of course, using the Bible as an accurate historical document to both guide where we dig and help interpret what we actually find. But it doesn't change the actual discoveries of what we find. We're not digging down to disprove the Bible. We are digging down, and what's down there is down there, and we are going to find it. And if it relates to the Bible and it's in Jerusalem, so why wouldn't it? Then we will declare that. As would be our responsibility to do so. And so, as I said, bright and early tomorrow morning, we are going to, 13 of us are going to be heading over, or at this point, just 11 of us. We've got another two volunteers coming on Tuesday. We are going to be heading over to the excavation to start digging once again on the Ophel. Again, the website that you can check out the latest developments is Key to David City. All one word, no spaces, no apostrophes in there. KeyToDavidCity.com, and you will stay up to date as much as possible, as much as we can do in real time, and you can be a part of the excavation as well. We're just going to take a short break now. I know that was just a little bit, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Ophel and the previous discoveries that have taken place on that special hill in Jerusalem, and also some potential things of what we could find this coming season. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Watch Jerusalem. Thank you for listening. The relatively new science of archaeology, the digging up and study of the material remains of man's past, has confirmed without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. Solid, documented evidence, apart from the Bible, confirms events and persons that at one time were known to us only from Scripture. The Bible is real, and you need to pay attention to it. Call now and request your free copy of The Authority of the Bible. This lesson, which comes from the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, blows the dust off your Bible. You will learn how to mine the treasures buried in the greatest book on earth. You can discover its secrets and enrich your life today. For more information, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is Watch Jerusalem, where history and prophecy come alive. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. Again, we are here in Jerusalem, ready to begin the Ophel excavations for 2018. And these are excavations that have been going on for quite a long period of time. If you're really familiar with Jerusalem, we're talking about this area just by east of the Dung Gate, just before you come out of the old city. If you're walking from the Kotel, the Western Wall, and you're going towards the Dung Gate, the Ophel area will be this area to your left, and that down towards the left is a large archaeological park known as the Davidson Center. And then you can continue in that direction towards your left, and you'll get to the Ophel excavations. What's more, if you are visiting Jerusalem through this period, we'd love to give you a tour of this area if you so desire. You can certainly get in contact with me, letters@watchjerusalem.co.il, and we'll see if we could set that up for you to make you really a part of this excavation and a part of the history of Jerusalem. It's not our history to keep to ourselves what we find. It is to be shared. And that's what we desire to do, both on Watch Jerusalem, on Key to David City, and also in person if you visit the dig site. Now, this area of the Ophel from the Dung Gate, once you come outside the gate and you walk down the hill towards the left and you keep on going around on the Ophel Road, it's called, you'll see one of these areas that have been extensively excavated. I forget the amount of acres or the hectares that have, or dunams that have been excavated here, but this area has been largely excavated, the whole of, all of it, since 1968. Of course, at that time, or before the Six-Day War in 1967, this area was unable to be excavated by Israelis. This area belonged to the Jordanians. There were certain excavations that took place a bit south in the city of David with Kathleen Kenyon before during Jordanian times. But really, Israeli Jewish archaeologists didn't have access to this most vital area when it comes to understanding the history of Jerusalem. People believe, or naturally assume, I should say, that Jerusalem, the oldest parts of Jerusalem, are inside the old city walls, when those old city walls mostly are just remnants from the Ottoman Empire. They're 500 years old. That's old, but it's not old for Jerusalem standards. You've got to go south, outside the Dung Gate, south of the Temple Mount Wall, and continue south down to the City of David to get the most ancient area, get at the most ancient area of Jerusalem, particularly around the Gihon Spring. And then as you come further north, that's the way the city expanded through the periods of the Israelite monarchy and then into King Solomon. Then the city expanded to the Ophel, to this area that I'm talking about, that was excavated heavily since Israel gained control in 1968. Now, just going back to that history, it's really important, and it does have a special connection with our work, just because Herbert W. Armstrong, he is the namesake for our college, and he's also the chancellor and founder of Ambassador College, that was based in Pasadena, California, and also in Big Sandy, Texas, and then they had a campus in England as well. And he sent over masses of students every summer, 30, 40, 50, to participate on these really important excavations, starting back in 1968 into 1969 and continuing for almost a decade on this area. They were massive, huge. And Ambassador College, under Mr. Armstrong, went into a 50-50 partnership with Hebrew University at the time, under the leadership of Dr. Benjamin Mazar and his friend, Mr. Joseph Avaram. And both all of them worked together to fund this very important excavation. Very important excavation. You can imagine the emotions that would have been exhibited in this excavation, just because Jews hadn't had access to this site, ownership basically over this site, for thousands of years, for 2,000 years. And now here they were excavating it and finding Jewish history in this site of the Ophel, this area basically between what is known as the Temple Mount today and the City of David, basically where the Palace of David ends. That is the geographic area known as the Ophel. And those excavations, large-scale excavations, was known at the time as the Big Dig, and that continued, as I said, for a decade. And then it ended, I believe, in 1977, around that period. And there have been some smaller excavations that have taken place on the Ophel since, for sure. But we're just really excited to give a lot of manpower and also funding to this excavation to ensure that it can happen. Now, Dr. Benjamin Mazar's granddaughter was there with him digging back when she was 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, learning English off those ambassador students, working together, growing in a love for archaeology back in the 70s as a young girl, as an early teen. And now she's back there as the head of it herself to uncover very special things. So as I was saying earlier, this area is quite small, south of the old city. It's where Jerusalem really began. And while we have reference in the Bible to Salem, the city of Jerusalem, back in Genesis chapter 14 during Melchizedek's time, we also have reference to this land of Moriah in Genesis chapter 22, which is fitting into the period of Abraham and Isaac. But really, Jerusalem didn't feature heavily into the biblical history until the time of King David. And you can read all about this history in 2 Samuel chapter 5. It really is a linchpin chapter in the history of ancient Israel, because it describes this period of time after King Saul's death. And of course, he was the first king of Israel, but he wasn't a righteous king. He relied on himself through quite a lot. He didn't really step up to the plate towards the end of his reign. And really, God had to choose a different dynasty to rule over his people Israel. And he chose to start that with David. And yet David wasn't king over Israel at the beginning. Once you had King Saul's death, you had a bitter civil war between the northern tribes. Saul, of course, was from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of the tribes. Nevertheless, it was his son Ishbosheth that ruled over those northern tribes, and David ruled over the southern tribe of Judah from Hebron in the south, the capital of the area of Judah. And then 2 Samuel chapter 5 brings us forward 7 years from that point. And you have the northern tribes there in the first few verses, the leadership of the northern tribes coming to David. And they say to David, yes, we haven't given you the respect, but we know that God made you king over all of us. And we would like you to be king over us. And this is 7 years after he had already reigned at Hebron inside Judah. And David obviously knows this is God's will. And he decides to come together with the northern tribes, and he was going to be king over both. He would be king over the northern tribes. He would also be king over the southern tribes, making one unified nation. One unified nation. And that's how it would stay for two kings, for David and Solomon. After that, it would break apart again. But for those two kings, the united monarchy, the nation of Israel, under that leadership, would experience dramatic growth, massive growth in both monetary means and also land holdings as well. A huge growth. And one of the very first things that David conquered after he was made king, or the very first thing that he conquered after he was made king, was Jerusalem, or this city of Jebus. Smack bang right in the middle of the territory that was given to the Israelites, you had this city of Jebus right on the border between the northern border of Judah and the southern border of Benjamin. You had this city, Jebus, that had not been taken for all the hundreds of years that the judges ruled it, for the time of King Saul as well. Jebus still remained unconquered. And yet, what's the first act that this new king or undertakes? What does he do first once he's made king over all Israel? He decides to head to Jebus, to Jerusalem, and to take it from the Jebusites. And you can read there that it says that Jebus, or the fortress of Zion, this whole mountain ridge basically called Zion that Jerusalem, ancient Jerusalem, was built on, he takes that, coming up through the Tsinor, or through this water tunnel of some sorts. Joab did, one of his commanders. And then he says this area, he would basically change the name of it to the city of David. This area of Zion on this southeastern hill of Jerusalem, south or up from the Gihon Spring and further south towards the Valley of Hinnom. This was it. That was called the city of David. That is where David ruled from initially. And then as time went on, because he didn't destroy the city, he basically let the inhabitants live. He had to build his palace, as we proved on this program, to the north of that ancient city of David. And then the city only had one way to expand. Where could it go, given that it was on this ridge with the Kidron Valley on the east, the Hinnom Valley on the south, and the Tyropian Valley on the west? The only way that Jerusalem could grow from the city of David was northwards. And this area northwards, directly northwards of the city of David, is known as the Ophel. And the Ophel, it's a peculiar word. It simply means a high place to climb to, or to rise up, or ascend, or some type of swelling. It's got multiple definitions. But it fits this area just north of the city of David. Now, this is mentioned a number of times in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about the wall of Ophel that was built. That was obviously built by King Solomon. because as he expanded the city northwards, as he expanded the city around where the temple would be, he needed to enclose that. And then you can also read in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3 and verse 25, you can see that this area of the Ophel also housed the upper house of the king, or the upper palace of the king. Solomon's palace, where that was located, was on the Ophel. And so this is a royal area, some type of, it held a royal function, is likely the place of his palace, his royal administration center as well. The Ophel, the word Ophel actually is mentioned in another ancient source. It's mentioned on a stela of Mesha, the king of Moab, and his capital was Dibon, and this is of course on the other side of the Jordan River. And that stele talks about him constructing an Ophel wall as well. And this was the capital of his kingdom. The Bible also talks about Samaria having an Ophel. And of course, Samaria was the northern tribe's capital as well. And so wherever you have this word Ophel, there is a royal administration center as a part of it, whether it be Samaria, Jerusalem, or in Moab. And so it implies Ophel, a royal administrative center. And that is where we are digging, in this royal administrative center on the Ophel. And this, because of this, we expect to find tremendous, tremendous discoveries. And we already have. Not just massive walls dating to the period of King Solomon that is creating this very large structure that we hope to put on some maps really soon. The second volume of Dr. Mazar's final report is coming out soon, and that'll have a lot more details for you if you wish to delve into it deeper. But we've also found very significant small finds, little artifacts that speak to the very royal nature of this part of the city, of this part of ancient Jerusalem, the Ophel, just north of the city of David. None more important than the seal impression of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. This is a stunning, beautifully read, easy to read if you can read ancient Hebrew. No, there's no question about the veracity of this at all. At all. It says, belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah. That's what it says. Two lines with a graphic in the middle of it, and it was found just outside this ancient city wall that was built by King Solomon in an ancient trash dump or trash heap. Now, that's not to say it was out of its right context. It was found in a beautiful context, meaning that it was found amongst other artifacts dating to the late 8th century, early 7th century BC, so around 700 BC. That was the context for this discovery. And it testifies so much to King Hezekiah's rule. King Hezekiah's rule from the Ophel. And no doubt there are more discoveries that are going to come from this area as well. Now, this area, it seems, as time went on, it did lose a lot of its value, especially after the southern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Babylonians in the early part of the 6th century BC. It was really destroyed. Jerusalem became heaps, as it says in the book of Jeremiah. And we had this return of the Jews 7 years later under Zerubbabel, and then under Nehemiah decades after that. And they really rebuilt Jerusalem and had a lot of work to do to clean up those heaps and that masses of trash and dirt. But what a lot of parts they didn't get down to, all the way down to bedrock. And so we have a lot of material from that from the earlier periods before the Babylonian destruction to discover. So we've found the Hezekiah Bulla there. We've found massive walls from King Hezekiah's King Solomon's time. King Solomon's time, the Solomon of the Bible, the Solomon, the son of David. Yes, he did build on the Ophel, just as we would expect him to if we read through the scriptures with an unbiased view, not discounting it, but actually saying that this is an accurate historical document. And then we dig on the Ophel, and that's what we find. But of course, we find other things from other periods as well as we make our way down to those biblical periods. And one of the important discoveries took place back in 2013 on the dig. This is where the Ophel menorah medallion was discovered. This is from the 6th century CE or AD, and it is a beautiful gold, pure gold medallion that features a menorah. It also features a Torah scroll on there as well. And it's this, it is glistening. I've seen it. It's absolutely wonderful and beautiful. It's in the Israeli Museum, or it was. I believe it's still there right now. That was also found on the Ophel, testifying again to the Jewish presence in this area on the Ophel. And it is so, I was giving a lecture earlier on today to some of the students just to get them familiar with the geography of Jerusalem, with what's been discovered already on this site, to talk about how they are just, they are a continuation of a long line of volunteers that have worked here since 1968 to uncover the history of Israel. And just to think about what potentially we could find, it is exciting. This dig, this next 3 months excavation, isn't going to be a very large excavation. It's basically continuing the season from back in 2013. We'll be excavating in this ancient cistern, which was originally a cave even before then. And I'm going to leave a link on this program that you can go back and look at a video we produced of this cave back in 2013, where I explain some of the details about it. And we're going to be going all the way down to the bottom of this massive cistern that is underneath the royal structure from Solomon's time. And in fact, it looks like it was actually part of it, part of that structure. It was used during the above structure's period of use, which is very exciting as we dig down through these layers. But I'll leave a link for you to view at your own leisure in the program notes. We're also going to be continuing in this building, this Byzantine structure which housed this menorah medallion, to try and uncover just how big this structure was. It looks like it was a two-story building. We're going to continue to excavate. We'll excavate a place that wasn't excavated back in 2012 or 13, adjacent to the very area that this gold trove was found. It wasn't just the medallion. There are a number of gold coins that were found alongside that as well. And so we will continue excavating for the next 3 months in those two areas. I don't know how much I'll be able to tell you as far as what we are discovering. That is, of course, not my prerogative to let the cat out of the bag too soon at all, especially before there isn't an adequate period of scientific investigation to make sure that we're sure of what exactly we have found. And that'll definitely fall to Dr. Eilat Mazar to come out with those discoveries as we find them, and as she pours over them, and as she discusses with other experts what she finds, and tries to prove whether or not, just to really just state the facts and allow others to come in and say whether they believe it or not based on the facts. Dr. Mazar is one that does believe in the accuracy of the Bible as far as its historical narrative. She sees no reason to use it as a historical source. It's the best one we have. Even though she's not religious, she holds it valuable, extremely valuable. And why not? Why not, given her excavation history in Jerusalem with her grandfather, giving her excavation history in the city of David with Yigal Shiloh in the 1980s, giving her excavation history in the Palace of David that she excavated 2005, 7, and 8. Why not treat the Bible as an accurate historical source when what you're finding doesn't disprove the Bible at all? People will come out with what they think they believe the story should be. And most of the time, those people either one, haven't excavated in Jerusalem, or two, don't give the Bible, don't give excavators a chance to uncover significant remains. They say, well, it hasn't been found yet, so it mustn't not have existed. We'll give it some time, and see it come out of the ground. And that's what we're seeing on the Ophel. That's what we're seeing on the Ophel. And there are archaeologists that come through and tour it often. Yisrael Finkelstein was there for a tour back in 2013. He was impressed by it. I don't know how much it's changing some of his theories, but there's a lot of impressive remains coming out of the ground there on the Ophel. And again, we'll do our best to make you fully aware of them as they happen. Again, that other website you can check out is keytodavidcity.com. Over the next few weeks, that'll be coming more active as we get back to the Ophel excavation starting tomorrow morning. Thanks very much for listening today. That's all we have time for. If you'd like to send some feedback on the program, you can do that by writing to us by emailing letters@watchjerusalem.co.il. Again, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.